The Lord, He heard my cry, and He pitied my master's throne. Oh, I love the Lord.
I love the Lord.
I really do. I love the Lord. He
We invite you to think with us for a few minutes from the subject, Strong Deliverer. Strong Deliverer. Most members of Shiloh are familiar with the hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, Pilgrim Through This Barren Land. Well, there's a line in that hymn that we don't often sing, but it has great spiritual resonance in times of vulnerability. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. It's a lyrical reminder of from where our help comes, because it comes from the Lord. I love God because he listened to me, listened as I begged for mercy. He listened so intently as I laid out my case before him. One of the worst things that we can do as Christians is to allow our troubles to erode our confidence in God's ability to deliver us. If you keep getting up in the morning, you will know that things will go wrong in our lives. But we must never doubt the providential, prevailing power of God to rescue us from trouble. Trouble can have a negative impact on self-esteem. If it persists, trouble can cause us to doubt God's concern for us. Our Sunday school lesson for the next 2 weeks deals with the dilemma of Job. And we all admire Job for how he handled his trouble at the start. We lift Job's words as if it were our own testimony. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But many of us forget that as Job's troubles persisted, persistent trouble caused Job to doubt God's concern. And after a while, Job was saying something else. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. I'd go straight to him and lay my case before him. God has no right to treat me this way. My brothers and sisters, that's what persistent trouble will do to us. When we feel as though we don't matter, that what we do doesn't matter, a sense of hopelessness sets in. We don't believe in ourselves, we don't believe that anyone else believes in us, and we don't believe that God will come through for us. But proper self-esteem comes from having an unshakable faith in God's care for us. Spiritual maturity leads us to the place where we choose to trust in God even in the difficult times of life, rather than resort to behavior and attitudes that hurt others and hurt ourselves. John put it this way: greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I've been walking with the Lord now for 54 years, and my testimony is that God cares about me. Doesn't mean I always like what God does. Doesn't mean I always like what he has permitted to happen in my life. There have certainly been times when I thought God would do one thing and he did another. But even when faced with adversity, setback, and failure, I've never had reason to doubt that God loves me. And because I know that he loves me, I know that he will deliver me. That's what we see here in this 116th Psalm. This is the fourth of what is commonly known as the Egyptian Paschal Hallel, which refers to songs of praise. Characteristic of these psalms is that they begin with who ought to be doing the praising, and that's us. And they end with who it is that we should be praising, and that's God. And then the psalm tells us why. This particular Hallel contains an intimately personal praise of God for what God has done in the writer's life. In its 19 verses, I occurs 19 times. My occurs 11 times. Me occurs 4 times. We don't know who wrote the psalm. We're not sure of what the writer has been delivered from, but it's clear that the psalmist is certain that something profound has happened in his life. And it's equally clear that he knows he had nothing to do with how things turned out. My brothers and sisters, when God delivers us from our trouble, we have to remember that deliverance had nothing to do with us, but everything to do with God. Oh, you know how it works, don't you? When we're in trouble, we turn to God and we seek his delivering power. But when deliverance comes, we act like we delivered ourselves. We talk about our ingenuity, our creativity, our determination as we share with others what we have just come through. But in the trials of life, you need to remember help doesn't come from you. Help comes from the Lord. He's the one who keeps us in our trouble, and he's the one who delivers us from our trouble because he is a strong deliverer. For just a moment, we invite you to consider three things regarding this psalmist's trouble. First, consider the psalmist's dilemma. If you read the psalm, it's clear that it was grave. He writes, "The ropes of death were wrapped around me. The horrors of the grave came over me. I was overcome by sadness and sorrow." He depicts death and the grave as hunters that have tracked him down and surrounded him to the point that he could not escape. They were lying in wait with ropes to entangle him. Church, somebody under the sound of my voice today can relate to what the psalmist is describing. You're in a predicament where it looks like things are closing in from every side. You're dealing with an amalgamation of agony, a conglomeration of calamity, a litany of loss, a maze of misery, a plethora of problems, a series of suffering. But the psalmist wants us to know that when we feel trapped by negative circumstances, when we feel trapped by deceitful people, when we feel hemmed in by trouble and despair, we don't have to give up. I love God because he listened to me. He listened as I begged for mercy. Regardless of my dilemma, my relationship with God reassures me that he will take care of me. In verse 16, the psalmist says that he has a background of experience with the Lord. He says, "I serve you, Lord, just as my mother did. You have set me free from the chains of my suffering." The psalmist affirms that he was raised in a godly home by a godly mother. But while there is tremendous value in being raised in a godly home by godly parents, it's more important that you know the Lord for yourself. You can't have a relationship with God by proxy. You have to know that you've met him for yourself. You know, I was raised in a three-generation household. I often heard my grandmother testify about how the Lord took care of her after her mother died when she was 11 and her father died when she was 16. I heard her talk about how God brought her from Afton Villa Plantation in St. Francisville and watched over her down in New Orleans, where she was a domestic in white folks' homes. I heard her talk about how God delivered her from death when she gave birth to my father, for she had been told that if she delivered him, both she and the baby would die. And she lived another 48 years, and my daddy lived to be 80 years old. And I take great delight in the stories of God's deliverance that my grandmother told me, that my father told me, that my mother told me. But as moving and as powerful as those stories are, I know that I can't make it on grandmother's religion. I can't make it on daddy and mama's faith. If I'm going to be delivered from dilemmas, I have to know him for myself. And because I know for myself what he's done for me, how he's delivered me many times in my life, I can praise God for what he's done for me. And then, more than the psalmist's dilemma, you need to consider the psalmist's dialogue. It was a dialogue of worship. In church, when there's genuine relationship with God, then worship becomes dialogue with God. The psalmist recognized that he was asking from the Lord for something that he did not deserve. He was asking for favor from God. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I don't have to be in a position where I deserve anything from the Lord, because I know that's never going to happen. Everything that I have is not because I deserve it, but it's because God's blessed me in spite of what I deserve. The air that I breathe, I don't deserve that. The food that I eat, the clothes that I wear, the activity of my limbs, the thinking of my mind, the bed that I sleep in, the car that I drive, the money in my pocket, my wife and my children, the friendships that I enjoy, nothing I have is because I deserve it. It's because God has been good to me in spite of what I deserve. But with all that God has already blessed me, I still feel good about the fact that I can ask him for even more. And I got Bible to support that. Come to me, all that are weak and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Look again at verse 4 and notice that this man didn't take up a whole lot of time telling God what he needed. His situation had become so critical that trouble had caused him to shorten his prayer. And my brothers and sisters, if you don't know it yet, trouble will cause you to shorten your prayers. All that God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, mama's God and daddy's God, all that goes out the window when you're in trouble. When you're in trouble, you just say, Lord, help me. When you're in trouble, you just say, Lord, remember me. When you're in trouble, you just say, Master, save me. Psalmist found himself in trouble, and in trouble he shortened his prayer. In shortened, he got right down to the crux of the matter, and he said, Lord, I need help, and I know that help can only come from you. Well, there's one final thing that I want you to consider, and that is the disposition of the one that this psalmist calls on, and that's God. In verse 5, the psalmist addresses his prayer to the Lord, who is righteous and gracious and full of compassion. And I need you to see that this description of God is paradoxical. You see, righteous implies straight. If righteousness is not straight, then it's not righteous. But to be gracious and full of compassion is to bend and accommodate to meet our needs. So what the psalmist is saying is that while God's righteousness is a bar set so high that I can't reach it, his grace and his compassion reach down to where I am and pulls me out of the pit that threatens to destroy me. Church, we serve a God who is straight and at the same time bends to meet our need. He's so high that you can't get over him, and yet he looks low and lifts us out of our trouble. He's so perfect that there's no fault in him, and yet he's so gracious that he looks beyond our faults and meets our need. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I serve a paradoxical God. I serve a God who is righteous and gracious and compassionate all at the same time. And because of his disposition, I know that he will deliver me. And that's what we need. We need a strong deliverer. We need someone who will lift us out of the morass of hell and chaos that we're in and plant us safely on a solid foundation. If you look at the 12th verse of this psalm, the psalmist asks an important question. He asks, how can I repay God for all the goodness that he has shown to me? Y'all like it better from the King James Version. What shall I render unto God for all his mercy? And then the psalmist answers his own question. I ain't got nothing that I can give that will satisfy a God as great and as holy and as loving as he is. But I will do this with all that I have. I'll put it in his hands. And my brothers and sisters, when you know that God has delivered you, that ought to be your determination, that I'm going to put it all in his hands. I'm going to put all of my burdens in his hands. I'm going to put all of my trials in his hands. I'm going to put all of my fears in his hands. I'm going to put all of my doubts in his hands. I'm going to put it all in his hands because I know he has safe hands. He has strong hands. He has way-making hands. He has heart-fixing hands. He has burden-bearing hands. What shall I render? Everything I've got, I'm going to put it all in his hands and trust him to do for me what I can't do for myself. I love the Lord because he heard my cry and he pitied my every groan. Well, God, thank you for a word that reminds us that you are our deliverer, that you are the source of our salvation, that you are the one who makes a way for us, that you are the one who lifts our burdens and helps us to deal with our difficulties, that we don't have to bear it all in our own strength, but that you will help us carry our load. We pray, dear God, that we would recognize our helplessness without you, and that we would draw nearer to you. Bless this simple word which has gone forth. May it be a help to those who have heard. And now as we open the doors of your church, if there be some man, woman, boy, or girl who does not know you in the pardon of their sin, we pray that something that has been said or done in this worship would cause them to surrender their lives to you. We ask it humbly in the name of your Son, Jesus, and for his sake we pray. Amen.
What shall I render unto God for all his blessings? What shall I render? Tell me what shall God has everything. Everything belongs to him. God has everything. Everything belongs to him. What shall I render? Tell me what shall I give? All I can render is my body.
Are you willing to render all that you have to the Lord? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone would humble himself and open his heart, I will come in and I will have fellowship with him and he with me. If there's some man, woman, boy, or girl who recognizes their need to make Jesus the Lord of their lives, we hope that you will respond to this worship experience by doing just that. And we are here to help you should you require our assistance. You can reach out to us through our website, shilohbr.com. There's a connect icon at the top of the page. Share with us your information there. You can reach out to us through Facebook or through YouTube. Leave your information in the chat section and we will respond to you. Or you can simply call us here at the church, 225-343-0640. We look forward to the opportunity of sharing with you in the most important decision that you could ever possibly.